You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jeffrey Say. He's talking to me from Singapore. Jeffrey, thanks so much for being with me today.
My pleasure, Brainerd. I'm really delighted to be here talking to you today.
Jeffrey, we're talking at the end of March in 2021, so we're just passing a year of the pandemic. So I feel like I have to ask you, how has it been in Singapore? How is it now? And do you feel it ending there? And how has it been this past year?
I think things have really improved, a lot since 1 year ago. I think at the beginning it was really difficult. For us, we were put on what you call, I think this is something that was coined by our government, in fact. It's called circuit breaker. It's like a lockdown, a partial lockdown. And that went on for a few months, and, literally a lot of things stopped, you can't even get to work. Everyone has to work from home. And then we had that kind of big outbreak at the foreign workers' dormitories, where tens of thousands of foreign workers were infected. But since then, I think the government has kind of, have had everything under control. I think, also it's also, I think, partly due to, the cooperation of the citizens. The government took kind of strict action. We had, I think all Singaporeans, it's mandatory to wear masks outdoors, and and I think that also played a part in controlling the pandemic. And so, as for me, I think things gradually got better by August, September. So we started our kind of phase two. We were allowed again to, go back to work, teach in, kind of face-to-face teaching again. And now we are into what you call phase three. So phase three, there's more loosening up of the rules, There's still mandatory wearing of masks. There's still social distancing. Other than that, there are still, kind of limitations. For example, in terms of the number of people attending live events and conferences, and other social events. So things are looking good. We have, I think since January, we started our vaccination kind of program. So we hope to get everyone vaccinated, by the third quarter of this year. So things are looking good. And in fact, it is the 13th day that we don't have what you call community cases, right? Although we do have about 10, 20 imported cases, coming from overseas, but no community cases. Yeah.
Hmm. That's good to hear for the moment. And so tell me about your work. What are you working on now? And I know I imagine you're writing and working on different things and also teaching, but what are you working on at the moment?
Yeah, so besides, I run the MA, what do you call the MA in Asian Art Histories program at LaSalle College of the Arts. Here in Singapore, and it's actually the first program, in the world that focuses on, Asian modern and contemporary art history. So by modern and contemporary, I mean like from the 19th century till today, in fact, till the contemporary period. And that started in 2010. So, but I've been in LaSalle since 1997, right? But I've been running this program since 2010, so it's about 11, 12 years. And so besides kind of overseeing this program, I have other kind of professional activities. So before the pandemic, I used to give a lot of talks, public talks at libraries, at museums, galleries. But and also besides the talks, I also I'm also working on two publications currently. One publication is actually a kind of anthology, a reader in a modern art of Singapore, right? And that's the second volume. In fact, we published the first volume. It's a co-edited volume, so I'm one of the editors. The first volume was published in 2016. That's a kind of an anthology or reader on contemporary art in Singapore. So this is the second volume, which will be published early next year. And concurrently also, I'm working on a, I'm a co-author of a series of children's books on Southeast Asia art and history, art and culture. You know, so we are focusing on four artists. And that's going to be published by Penguin Random House, right? Also sometime next year. Yeah, so I'm pretty busy. I mean, doing publication is never easy. Yeah.
Let's talk about all of those. First, I want to ask you know about your program, which I know of. Has that program been replicated? Is it being taught other places in MA in history of contemporary Asian art? And if so, why not? Why isn't this being taught more? Why is this the only program?
Yeah, you know, I mean. You know, as I said, it started in 2010, and it's been a good 11 years since then. And even, you know, looking around institutions worldwide, you know, I don't see an equivalent program anywhere else, right? Even even a BA, right, in modern and contemporary Asian art, you know, I you know, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, from my research, you know, no institution seem to be offering it, a kind of full-fledged degree. Right, in this field. The only equivalent kind of degree that I can think of is the one run by Sotheby's Institute of Art in London, which is an MA in kind of, I think it's MA in contemporary Asian art, so it's a little different, right? But the focus in that for that course is actually on East Asia, right? Whereas for my program, the focus is more on Southeast Asia, right? And, you know, so we have this kind of regional focus here because I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Since we are actually, Singapore is in the region, right? And, you know, and so it makes sense to, you know, for students to kind of undertake, right, topics, right, related to the region. Although we do kind of broaden up as well to include, you know, South Asia, East Asia, but the focus is very much on Southeast Asia. Mm. So I'm surprised
I'm surprised too. It seems to me this is you know an issue that we're in a global art world and the biennials and contemporary work that references the history. And historians, of course, are global. It's an overlooked topic, you know, oddly enough. And I'm just wondering why that's been overlooked. I mean, I suppose that's the case with other areas of history and an MFA and an MA degree. But it seems strange that is overlooked, because there's a vital contemporary scene there, which I want to talk to you about. So let's talk about your book on contemporary art. What does that focus on in contemporary art? Is it an age range? How is it all practicing artists of a variety of mediums, or does it favor conceptual art or idea based art? How do you create a kind of you know structure to explore that in a contemporary sense?
So we published our first volume, as I mentioned, in 2016. So the full title of that book is called Histories, Practices, Interventions, A Reader in Singapore Contemporary Art. So let me just briefly define, you know, in the context of Singapore, you know, contemporary art is taken to refer to art practices which kind of emerged in the, I would say, in the mid-1980s. And these practices actually reacted against what the art that came before, what we can define as modern art, you know. So modern art includes, for example, you know, abstract art or figurative art. So the contemporary art practices we define as, art that is cutting edge, that kind of embrace new art forms such as installation, performance, video, collaborative practices, right? So the starting point for the book is from the third quarter of the 1980s, right, up to the present. So what we did was we put together about 30 over kind of texts, right, that is related to contemporary art. Right. So these texts were written by either scholars, historians. Some of the texts were written by artists themselves, right? So we have all these texts put together in this anthology. And so the second volume is going to be the same in terms of structure. There are also 30 over texts, but this time on modern art. So how we define modern art, then that's a bit more problematic. That's something that we are going to problematize in the editorial essay. And that's what I've been, reading and researching on. I think we are looking at a broader scope here, from the 19th century, from when the British colonizers, right, and that's when kind of modern art, or what you call Western art, came to Singapore, right? And then, Singapore, in fact, if you look at Singapore's art history, it's actually also kind of formed by the kind of migrant community, the Chinese artists who came here in the early 20th century, right, and culminating in what we term as the Nanyang style, right? So the Nanyang style is regarded as one of the kind of modern art movements, right, or style in Singapore, right? But as I said, it's a little bit more.
And what is that style? What is that style exactly? What does that mean, the Nanyang style?
Yeah, well, you see, the Nanyang is a term, right, is translated from the Chinese, right? Because around the early 1900s, 1920s or so, artists or migrants started to settle in Singapore, right? So the Nanyang was actually referred to by the people in China to this region, right? So it's actually Southeast Asia, right? That is actually south of China, right? So the Nanyang style actually refers to a kind of subject matter, right, that is native to this region, right, a kind of vernacular subject matter. So artists who came from China subsequently kind of abandoned the kind of subject matter they used to paint in China, like the mountains of China, the scenery, and they started to paint local, colors and local environment and local scenes, right? So some of these artists, Chinese artists, they actually were trained in Western art. So actually to kind of encapsulate this term Nanyang, so Nanyang is a style that refers to this group of Chinese artists who migrated to Singapore, whose kind of style makes Western, and Chinese tradition, but with a local subject matter. So essentially that's, the kind of definition of what is Nanyang style. Yeah. Mm.
And thank you. Yeah, that's clear. And when we talk about contemporary artists in the first volume from the 80s till now, that's a different style, of course, that I would think is influenced by a global conversation, or is it? Because when we go to biennials and see contemporary art from all over the world, there seems to be a common conversation in many ways that's often idea based. But is that the case? Is that what you're finding? Is there a different trend that's happening, or a different thread that runs through contemporary art, meaning from the 80s till now, that is distinct from what we see in many other parts of the world that's so often Western and European influenced?
Yes, I think Well, I can only speak for Singapore because, you know, because within the region, the South Asian region, contemporary art actually take quite different forms, you know, and it kind of differs from country to country, right? I would say that in Singapore, I think the younger artists, you know, those who emerged in the 80s onwards, and you pointed it correctly, you know, we see a kind of global influence, you know, on their own work. Many of them have exposure to Western art practices. You know, some of them were trained overseas, you know, and they came back to Singapore to practice. You know, so it's not surprising that you know the kind of performance installation art that we see practicing then and now, you know, have certain affinities, right, with the West. And but of course, you know, the kind of issues that we deal with are quite different as well. You know, some artists deal with the kind of social and political issues that are, you know, kind of pertinent to Singapore, right? But I would say that the contemporary artists today, you know, many of them, well, some of them at least, you know, they deal with issues relating to the self, you know, to identity, right? The younger generation, they don't engage so much with, I think, social and political issues, right, compared to contemporary artists in the 80s and 90s, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
they are a bit more introspective. Sorry, yeah.
Hmm. No, more introspective, yeah. Talk a little more about that. I mean, because when you talk about the self, you know, here, you know, in the United States, that often relates to, you know, sexuality, gender, you know, as well as, you know, issues of potentially, you know, religion or other things. But you were about to say something else about the self as well.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, I think this kind of, you know, especially if you know, you can see that in the works of, you know, the younger generation of artists, right? You know, I think, you know, our older generation of artists, they respond to kind of, you know, the world, what they saw around them, right? You know, people, landscape, architecture, right? These were recurring subjects. But I think today's contemporary artists, they create more kind of multi-layered and more, and sometimes what you call immersive, you know, kind of fictive worlds, right, in which personal and sometimes political issues are played out, right? So, and also inviting viewers to consider their own condition and place in society, right? So I think their works are very much reflective of the kind of complexities and contradictions of contemporary society. Yeah.
And the children's book, I want to ask a little bit about that. I know that's in the making, but
right.
Of course it's in the context of you know, your knowledge as a historian. How what's the story of the children's book? Because I imagine you're tapping into art history, but there's always kind of a story to a children's book, right? So if we can talk about that, what is the story, or however you want to approach that?
Well, I suppose I think this book, that this series that I'm working together with another author, Eva Wong Nava, right? She's a writer on children's art. So she and me, we are the authors, but I think she'll be writing more because of her kind of experience in writing children's art, and or rather children's books, right? And for me, my part is really kind of to research on the artists that we are writing about, and also to give other kinds of advice relating to kind of art history. So what this series is what we call creative nonfiction, right? in a sense, it's written like a story, right? So we focus on four artists, and these four artists are from different parts of Southeast Asia. And so we kind of, take a certain angle, about their lives, and then use that to weave together a narrative about the artist. Right? So currently we are working on this second artist, Anita Magsaysay-Ho from the Philippines. And her work deals a lot with, Filipinas, female laborers, right, who work the land. And so that became our angle, to talk about the Philippines from the kind of kind of feminist point of view, right? So we kind of create a story, based on certain highlights in their lives, In this book, we also have like back matter. Back matter means we also have like factual information, right? So you have the story, right? And then you have the back matter, like the biography of the artist. And we also have a section on visual analysis. So we choose an artist's work, one work from the artist, and then kind of try to promote visual literacy, right, among children. To ask them to consider different parts of the artwork.
I like that. Visual literacy, of course, is so important. And so what is the age range that this book would reach?
Well, I would say about between 8 and 13.
And it's really introducing children to the world of artists. I mean, who artists are, how they live, what they do, how they think, or all of those things?
Oh, yes. Well, we also want them to kind of learn a little bit about the culture of the country in which the artist comes from, right? So for each biography, if you like, of each artist, we kind of weave in certain things about that particular country, right? So for the Philippines, for example, for Anita Magsaysay-Ho, the artist, we talk about the kind of national food, the mango, right? And we use certain kind of Tagalog phrases, right? So we try to make it authentic as such, so that children can learn about not only the artist, but the kind of the country from which the artist also comes from and the culture as well.
I like that. That sounds like such a wonderful project, Jeffrey.
Thanks.
I want to ask you one more question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
That's a good question, and I think a very pertinent one, because I did mention the Singapore Modern, our second volume of the Singapore Modern Art book, and I've been reading a lot. In fact, this past few couple of months, I've been researching and reading on any material that I can get my hands on, right, relating to modern art in Singapore, right? So, so I've been immersing myself in those materials, trying to make sense of, what was said and whether, that... what was said, and whether in our book, we can kind of, make sense of those things, and whether we can develop new kind of paradigms or trajectories about modern art in Singapore. So, it takes a lot of reading, but actually my personal habit for myself is that I can't stick to one book, right? I normally go from book to book. I don't know whether that's a good habit or bad habit, but, so sometimes it's difficult for me to finish a book. And, I tend to go from one book to another, and I especially enjoy, history books. So I don't read fiction, right? All the books that I read are actually nonfiction. and you know, they can range from art to military history. And I have a particular kind of interest as well. If that may kind of interest you, I mean, I have a particular interest in the military history of the Native Americans of America, right, the U.S. So.
Jeffrey, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure, and I wish you well with the upcoming books. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bernard. It's been a pleasure, right? Thank you for inviting me again to the program.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.